We are on Lamed Aleph Beis. Today's daf in Shavuos is Lamed Hey. We are with the words of Bishimon Amar Chayev Kan v'Chayev Bibikadon, and we are now wrapping up yesterday's discussion of the Gemara regarding the following Shavuos Aedus. When a person is asked to provide testimony and he swears that he has no testimony, so now he's eligible and subject to Shavuos Bibikadon. Sorry. Did that again. Shavuos Aedus. Okay, I'm going to do that a couple more times. Okay, everyone just bear with me. So he'll be subject to Shavuos Aedus. Shavuos Aedus, the Parsha in the end of Vayikra goes over the fact that if a person denies having a known testimony, so he brings a carbon. The carbon is a carbon olav yared, much like Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav, just like Shavuos Abitui. So for Shavuos Aedus, he's also going to bring a carbon. And the carbon is going to be either it's going to be an animal, it's going to be a pair of birds, or it's going to be a mincha, as we've discussed already a number of times. And under those circumstances, when he denies it, he knows information, so he brings a carbon. And but as we learned in yesterday's daf was dedicated to the topic of, it's only by kfiras mamon. It has to be that the testimony is regarding a monetary case. And as we're going to be learning in the course of today's daf, it has to be not just a monetary case, but a solid monetary case. You may not understand me now, but you will understand me shortly enough. It's got to be a monetary case. And how do we know that? How do we arrive at that conclusion? So as we pointed out yesterday, you look at the Pesukim in the Torah, or I should say better, the Pasuk in the Torah. There's no indication from the Pasuk in the Torah that it's talking about Kfiras Mamon. From the Pasuk in the Torah, it could be talking about, just simply, I have testimony, I'm not giving it. And how do I know that's talking about Kfiras Mamon? So in yesterday's Gemara, the Tanaim discussed that. We quoted a Braisa. The Braisa starts all the way back on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And the Braisa goes over four different approaches amongst the Tanayim in terms of how we arrive at this conclusion. The Braisa brought in the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Rabbi Shimon. Four Tanayim who all have differing viewpoints, but all at the same conclusion in terms of how we know that the Pasuk is talking specifically and exclusively about Kfiras Mamon. So with that stated, now we are going to be going over the last Shita, and that's of Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon starts off by saying, I think we can learn it out from a Kal v'Chomer, based on the halachas regarding Shavuos HaPikadon, and then, in a failure to learn it out through a Kal v'Chomer, so then he resorts to a Gzeirah Shavah. But basically he learns it out from Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos HaPikadon is at the very, is at the tail end of Perek Hay, when somebody gives a deposit by me, and then comes over and asks me, "Nu, can I have my deposit back?" And I look at him and I say, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I swear to the fact that I don't know what he's talking about. So under those circumstances, I also have to bring a carbon. Not a carbon olav yared. That's a case of an asham. And I have to bring a carbon asham, very similar to a carbon chatas, but it's not the same. So I bring a carbon asham. And also, on top of that, that's what's And on top of that, I also have to pay a chomesh as well. In other words, not only do I have to make full restitution of that which I ended up taking from him, but also I have to pay back another one-fifth, which comes out to 25%. Okay, and the math we'll do later. Okay, anyway. So in the meantime, however, the Gemara now is going to point out that of these four opinions that are registered in the Braisa, so this Braisa obviously was learned universally, was learned in the yeshivas in Bavel, was learned in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, so when they heard the Braisa, and they heard the Lashita Rabbi Shimon, so they didn't like it. And I'm being gentle when I say they didn't like it. And that's what we're doing right now in the Gemara. And everyone, let's turn our attention to Lamed Aleph Beis and the two dots. Rabbi Shimon Amar Chayev Kan v'Chayev Bibikadon v'Chulei. Machu Aleh B'Marava. So in Eretz Yisrael, when they heard the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, so they made fun of it. They laughed at it. Right now, I'm going to go back to my gentle speak. They didn't understand it. So Manchucha. So the Gemara now wants to know. Okay, good. So in Eretz Yisrael, they made fun of it. They derided it. So here in Bavel, let's see if we can figure out, like, what's so illogical about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that in Eretz Yisrael, when it basically turned into like a knee slapper. Like, that's funny, Rabbi Shimon. What's so funny about it? So the Gemara now, for the next half of an Amud, from here until the next Mishnah, on the top of the next Amud, the Gemara is going to entertain a number of possibilities of what exactly may have been so comical about to the Bnei Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So, the Gemara starts off with the following. So the Gemara says, well, there's that possibility that what Rabbi Shimon, the way Rabbi Shimon derived on it, sorry, let me, I'm sorry, let's go back, I'm sorry. Maichucha. Diktani. Mali bikarin shekein lo asa ba mushba kineshba. So the Gemara says, look, what was the argument that was provided? That when it comes to pikadon, so mushba and nishba are not the same. As we already pointed out a number of times, there are two ways to make a shvua. Either to make it yourself, that is what's called nishba, or to be placed under oath, to be adjured by others, and that's called mushba. Now, as we know, the halacha is regarding shvuas ha'edus, it applies to both, meaning you'll be eligible to bring a carbon olah v'yared for kfira on edus when it's either nishba or mushba. And by pikadon, it's not the same. By pikadon, it only works by nishba, not by mushba. So that's the Gemara now points out. Ma, le pikadon shekin la'asa ba mushba de kinishba. Look, by pikadon, it's not the same. It only applies by pikadon, only by nishba, not by mushba. Mezid, kishogeg, and also, as opposed to shvuas edus, which applies to both mezid and shogeg, by shvuas pikadon, it doesn't apply to both mezid and shogeg. So michti, so the Gemara says, now on that point of the brisa, and on that point of Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, let's think this through. Mushba mi piatzmo be edus le Rabbi Shimon manale. Now, as we already pointed out, how do I know about mushba mipi atzma? You make a shvua yourself by shvua seidus. How do we know that? Meaning the Torah describes, when the Torah describes shvua seidus, it says vishama kol Allah, meaning somebody adjured you, right? You were placed under oath, but it's not that you made the shvua. Well, how do we know that if you make the shvua, you're going to be chayev? Now, just a moment, we're going to say, well, it's a simple kavachomer, but before we get to that point, the Gemara now notes that according to Rabbi Shimon, how do you arrive at that conclusion? The Gamar mi pikadon. It must be because we learned it from pikadon. Meaning in the psukim regarding pikadon, the psukim are pretty clear that he made his shvua on his own. So the Gemara now points out pikadon ami mushba mi piacherim nigmar mi edus. Oh, so the Gemara says, so if mushba mi piatmo is learned from pikadon to edus, and that is how we know mushba mi piatmo, you're going to be chayev. So the Gemara says, so the converse also must be true. That mushba mi pi acherim, which is true by shvuas edus, also must apply by shvuas pikadon. And what was the entire argument to Rabbi Shimon? Well, they're different. Well, what do you mean? If we're going to take the shvua mi pi acherim and apply it to, if we're going to take the shvua mi pi atzmo and apply it to shvuas edus, so conversely, we must also be going in the other direction as well. So the whole premise of the argument is if they're different, well, they can't be different. They have to be the same. So the Gemara says, "Umay chucha." And now the Gemara says, "Good." So now we think we understand why the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, were laughing. But the Gemara says, "But I don't know what's so funny." So Dilma, Rabbi Shimon, bekavachomer maisila. So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe it's not an exereshava. Maybe it's a kavachomer. Mipi acherim chayv, mipi atzma lo kol shekein." Meaning, where again? Starting point for our discussion is going to be the Shvuas Ha'edus. Shvuas Ha'edus, the Torah describes shama kol Allah, which means mushba mipi acherim. And now, it's not a gzereshava, it could just simply be a kavachomer, and a very simple kavachomer. If while being placed under oath by others, you're going to be chayv to bring a karbon, if you yourself make the shvua, alachas kama v'kama, you're going to bring a karbon. So in other words, it's not the gzereshava connecting the two, but it's a simple kavachomer. And now that it is internally based, and not being learnt from shvuas pikadon, so the Gemara says, so now Rabbi Shimon's argument is very good. Meaning the argument is they're different. Yes, they're different. Shvuas Eidos applies to both Mushba Mipi Acherim and Nishba Miatzmo, as opposed to Shvuas Pikadon, which is only Shvua Mipi Atzmo. So the Gemara says, Elachucha Mezik Keshogeg. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe what was comical to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael was the next part of the argument. Mezik Keshogeg. Diktani, Imala Pikadon Shekin Lasaba Mushba Kenishba Mezik Keshogeg. Michti. Mezik Lagabi Eidos Menale. Now, again, we're going over now the next halacha, which is mezid. Mezid by edus, how do I know? Deloksi vanela. And I know that a person is going to be chayv karban olaviyarein by shvuas edus because it doesn't say the word vanela. And meanwhile, hachinami loksi vanela. Go to the end of Perakei, read up on the shvuas apikadon, and you will also notice over there that doesn't say the word vanela, which would seem to indicate that the mezid halacha should also apply to shvuas epikadon as it does for shvuas edus as well. Good. So in other words, and that's what was so funny, because Rabbi Shimon in the argument says, you know, mezid kishogig by edus, but there's no mezid kishogig by epikadon. But that's not true. Seemingly, it's not true. Mezid does apply by shvuas epikadon. So amalu revuna maichucha, dema mezid lav kishogig by epikadon, mimi ila Rabbi Shimon gamalar. So the Gemara says, well, could very well be that as it relates to Pikadon, so Mezid is not going to be like Shogeg. And you know why? Because we learn now from Me'ila. We learn now from Me'ila, meaning, again, in Perek Hay, a number of Ashamas that are mentioned, one Asham is for the Pikadon, and another carbon Asham is for Me'ila. When a person misappropriates from the Beis HaMikdash, taking something belonging to the Beis HaMikdash and getting Hana'a from it, so that is a violation of the Isra of Me'ila, an entire Masechta dedicated to that topic. But meanwhile, however, what the Gemara now is saying is that despite the fact that it doesn't say the word Vinelam by Shuas HaPikadon, we know it only applies by Shogeg and not by Mezid because we learn it from Me'ila. And the Gemara says, V'hainu Chucha. So the Gemara says, good. And that, once again, prompted to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael to laugh. Why? Because Adagamar Le'Mimila, Nigmar Le'Me'edus. Look, it doesn't say the word Vinelam by Shuas HaPikadon. Is a person going to bring a carbon in the case of Mezid? Well, there's two ways to go. One direction we can go is to Shavuos Eidos. Another direction we can go is towards Me'ila. By Shavuos Eidos, Mezid Keshogig. By Me'ila, only Shogig, not Mezid. So when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon, which direction are we going to go? And once again, we're going to go back to the point that we made yesterday. Well, if we have two paths that we can go down, which is the stronger path? Whichever has more connecting points. And now the Gemara is going to, once again, go over what are those connecting points? Mistabra Mimila Avalala Melef, Shekane Me'ila Mimila. So the Gemara says, well, it makes more sense that we should learn now from Me'ila, because in the Parsha of Pikadon, the Torah describes the act of denying somebody, that somebody deposits something by you, as an act of Me'ila, as an act of treachery. Obviously, by Me'ila, the Torah also uses the same verb of being Moel. So it's better to learn out from Me'ila since the word Me'ila is used, Adarabba. So Havalala Melef, Shekein Techta Mitechta. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Eidos Havalala Melef, Shekein Techta Mitechta. The Gemara says, yeah, but as we pointed out yesterday, there's also a connecting word that connects Shavuos HaPikadon to Shavuos Eidos, notably the word Techta. So Adarabba, Me Eidos Havalala Melef, I'm sorry, Mistabra Mimila Havalala Melef, Shekein. So the Gemara says, okay, but there are a number of connecting points that connect Shavuos HaPikadon to Me'ila, and they are, for example, meaning all the connecting points are, number one, Me'ila, the word Me'ila is written by both. Number two, Bakol, meaning that the Isser of Shavuos HaPikadon and the Isser of Me'ila applies to everybody, men and women, and the list goes on and on. Meaning, as opposed to Shavuos HaEidos, which only applies to people who could testify, which is already knocks off half the population, it's only men, not women. On top of that, even by men, only men who are eligible to testify, not men who are ineligible to testify. So in other words, so that's another connecting point, connecting Pikadon to Me'ila. Number three, Nehenah. In both cases, there is a tangible benefit that you get. Meaning when you deny Pikadon, so you're getting a tangible benefit, the object in which you are now keeping for yourself. By Me'ila, there's a tangible benefit, meaning that's the entire Isser, that you're getting benefit. By Eidos, by denying somebody testimony, there's no tangible benefit. Number four is Kavua. In other words, the carbon that you're going to be bringing for Shavuos HaPikadon and Me'ila is a carbon Kavua. It's a fixed carbon. It's carbon Asham. Masha'in came by Eidos. It's a carbon Olaviyore. It's going to fluctuate based on how much money you have. And number six already is Chomesh. Chomesh that both in Pikadon and Me'ila, when you're making restitution, you also have to add on a surcharge of a fifth. And finally, it's a carbon Asham. Okay. So these are the number of similarities that exist between Pikadon and Me'ila. So when asking the question, are we going to treat Shogeg like Mezid? Or I should say better, are we going to treat Mezid like Shogeg? By Me'ila, we don't. And so by Pikadon, we also shouldn't. On the other hand, Adarabba, the Gemara says, let's go in the other direction, which is, Eidos Havalala Melef. Let's now go over all the connecting points between Pikadon and Eidos. So the Gemara says, Shekein, Chet. Again, the word techeta that's used in both instances. Hegyo, it applies to non-hektesh, as opposed to Me'ila, which applies to hektesh. Shavua, they both involve a shavua. Me'ila does not involve a shavua. Tave v'kafre, there is a tviya, there's a claim made against you. There's a denial of the claim. That's both true by Pikadon, that's both true by Eidos. Of course, it's not true by Me'ila. Me'ila is just simple misappropriation. And finally, the o-in. Right, the multiple usage of the word O, which we find by Shavuos HaPikadon, which we find by Shavuos HaEidos, which is not contained by Me'ila. So therefore, the Gemara says there's a number of connecting points. And finally, the Gemara says, okay, but once you take score at the end of the day, Hanach Nefishin, there is more connecting points that connect Shavuos HaPikadon to Me'ila, six in total, as opposed to only the five connecting points again, 6-5 score, not, you know, it's a close game. But it's a, as opposed to only the five connecting points which connect Shavuos HaPikadon to Shavuos HaEdus. So, so when all said and done, so now to the question of, by Shavuos HaPikadon, is it going to be, are we going to treat Mezid like Shogeg? And the answer right now is no, we're not. So now the argument of Rabbi Shimon, let's all go all the way back down to the argument of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says they're not the same. Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon are not the same. Why? So one of his arguments was it was because by Shavuos HaEdus it applies to Mezid Kishogeg. And meanwhile, by Shavuos HaPikadon, Mezid is not treated like Shogeg. And we've just now established in the Gemara that that's correct. And so once again, now we're turning all our attention back to the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. So what's so funny? See, Rabbi Shimon sounds like he's got it right. So, the ki azra papa Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua mi bei Rav Amri haynu chucha. So now, Rav Papa Rav Huna coming from Rav. Now remember, Rav started off in Eretz Yisrael, and then he moved to Bavel. So he's, you know, he's in touch with what's going on in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Michti, Rabbi Shimon gzeira shava gamir. So the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon learns it out from gzeira shava lama leit the parach. So mali bikan chiken loasa ba mushpa kanishba mezik shogeg. So the Gemara says, well, look. If you're learning out from Gzeira Shava, so then you're asking Pirchas, that's not, what are you doing asking Pirchas? Meaning ultimately it's Gzeira Shava. You don't ask Pirchas on Gzeira Shava. It's a, if it's a Kavachomer, so good. You're more than entitled to ask Pirchas. But if it's Gzeira Shava, so what Pirchas are you asking? Meaning not what Pirchas are you asking, but by what right are you asking a Pircha? You don't ask a Pircha on Gzeira Shava. So my Chucha, Dema Ki Parach Mikame to take him like Gzeira Shava. Vasa de Kame like Gzeira Shava lo Parach. So the Gemara says, okay, but chronologically, maybe it goes like this. Rabbi Shimon first attempted to make the limud through a kavachomer, then asked a pircha, and then comes back to a gzera shava. So the Gemara says, who is the Tana who says that by Shavuos HaPikadon, that Zadon is not eligible for kapara, Rabbi Shimon? Now it's learned from Rabbi Shimon. The and in the Braisa that we just learned together, Rabbi Shimon said that Mezid is treated like Shogeg by Shavuos HaEdus, but it's not treated. It's not treated as such when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon. So you see that Rabbi Shimon, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so you see that it actually is learned out through the Kavachomer, not through the Gzeira Shava. Meaning, had it been learned out through Gzeira Shava, so then the halacha would be true both by Shavuos HaEdus as it would be by Shavuos HaPikadon. So the Gemara says, Dilma mezik shogeg parach, de gamala mimila, danach nefishin. So the Gemara says, well, no, maybe that's not true. Maybe you're learning out through Gzeira Shava, and yet the halach is that shogeg and mezid are not going to be the same by Shavuos HaPikadon. Why not? As we already solidified just a couple of minutes earlier, because in the halacha of Shogeg and Mezid, we're going to be learning it from Mi'ila, and as we already pointed out, there are more connecting points connecting Shavuos HaPikadon to Mi'ila, which tells us that just like by Mi'ila, it only applies to Shogeg, not by Mezid. So too, by Shavuos HaPikadon, it only applies to Shogeg, not by Mezid. Ava mushba kenishba lo parach. So the Gemara says, but as far as mushma nishba are concerned, so that's not a halacha that can be learned out from Mi'ila. Mi'ila has nothing to do with shvua. So the Gemara says, so that's why that can't generate a pircha. Okay, so far at this point in time, still a bit of a struggle trying to understand to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael what was so funny, what was so laughable, how come it is that when they saw the argument of Rabbi Shimon, it humored them, it obviously didn't sit well with them. So really, it's a bit of a struggle trying to understand what was so funny to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara now suggests another possibility in terms of what was so humorous to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Tehader v'tehader edus v'tikmar lav b'pikadon. So the Gemara says, mezid lav kishogeg. So the Gemara says, "Ma pikadon b'shogig in b'mezid lo, af edus shogig in mezid lo." Ki hechid yalav pikadon mimi'ila. So the Gemara says, "Well, look, maybe the following was so comical to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Look, Rabbi Shimon ends up on a gzera shava. Now that he ends up on a gzera shava, so what does that do? It creates a double lane highway between Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon. What do we know by Shavuos HaEdus, or at least what do we think by Shavuos HaEdus? The halacha is that mezid k'shogig, right?" And now, Gzeira Shava now opens up the portal between Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon. What do we know by Shavuos HaPikadon? We know by Shavuos HaPikadon that Mezid is not like Shogeg. Why? Because what we did is that we said that Shavuos HaPikadon is like, just like Me'ilah. And the reason why it's just like Me'ilah is because there's six connecting points connecting Shavuos HaPikadon to Me'ilah. Just like by Me'ilah, it only applies to Shogeg, not to Mezid. So too by Shavuos HaPikadon, it only applies to Shogeg, not to Mezid. Once we're here, so now, and now there's a Gzeira Shava connecting Shavuos HaPikadon to Me'ilah, so why don't we now work in the other direction? Just like by Shavuos HaPikadon, it only applies to Shogeg, not to Mezid. Now let's go back to Shavuos HaEidos and say it only applies to Shogeg, not to Mezid. If Rabbi Shimon is operating with the Gzeira Shava, that should be our conclusion. And this is, and we just simply know that that's an incorrect conclusion. We know that by Eidos, it applies to both Shogeg and Mezid. But once you're opening up this Gzeira Shava portal, so why should that be? So the Gemara says, Lahachi kasva rachmana le'edus gabi shvuos bitui. So gabi v'gabi tumas megdash v'kadashav debekulam namar ben v'nelam v'kamnon lo namar ben v'nelam ala mezid. I'm sorry, lechayiv ala mezid k'shogeg. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even after this Gzeira Shava, opening up the portal between Shavuos HaEidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, I still know that our conclusion by Shavuos HaEidos is correct. That we're going to treat Mezid like Shogeg. Why? Because again, context. Where is Shavuos HaEidos located? Right by Shavuos Bitui, right by Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. And in those two examples, the Torah says clearly V'nalam. It says it both by Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. It also says V'nalam by Shavuos Bitui. And clearly, in an obvious absence, a conspicuous absence of the word venelam as it relates to Shavuos HaEidos. That is basically screaming to us the halacha that venelam applies by bitui, venelam applies by tumas mikdash v'kadashav, but venelam does not apply to Shavuos HaEidos, meaning that you're going to bring the karban whether you deny b'shogeg or even if you deny b'mezid as well. So despite the fact that it's a gzera shava, there is compelling evidence that would indicate that when it comes to Shavuos HaEidos, the halacha would be true both by shogeg and by mezid as well. And once again, another defense of Rabbi Shimon, and once again, we're kind of left off not totally understanding why in Eretz Yisrael, when they saw over the brights of Rabbi Shimon, they thought it was so funny. Okay. I know, by the way, that was just a lot of information I threw out at one shot. And admittedly, that last piece of Gemara was a little bit difficult. I strongly encourage, go back, hit the play button again. Rewind, play, you know. Just whatever. It all works. Just a question of, you know, of just being able to see it all. Okay, we are in Lamed Hamad Aleph now. We are starting the next Mishnah. Mishnah over here is going to go over other halachas regarding Shavuos HaEidos. So again, here's what we know. Shavuos HaEidos means that someone comes over to me and either I swear on my own or I am placed under oath, I am adjured, that I know testimony and I swear to the effect that, no, I don't know, I'm kofer. I deny knowing testimony. As we already discussed previously, the kfir has to be done in Beis Din. A kfir outside of Beis Din is not significant legabe the halacha of bringing a shvuos ha'edus. And so, but it also has to go on a kfiris mamon. The case has to be a monetary case. I should not be denying testimony on any case having to do with Beis Din, but the time that I'm going to be eligible to bring a karban shvua, Shavuos HaEidos is only by Kfiras Mamon and by no other case. In this Mishnah, what we're going to be highlighting is it has to be a real monetary obligation. What do I mean by that? You'll see through all the examples in the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Mashmi ani alechim im lo savo v'sei duni shamar ishponi liten li masayim zuz v'lo nasan. So now I go over to a pair of witnesses and I say, look, you were there, remember? And my friend promised that he was going to give me 200 zuz. And you were there for that. And he promised me, he made a firm commitment, he even shook my hand. Okay, a little narrative that I'm giving in the Mishnah. But in other words, but you saw that, right? And he hasn't given it to me. And you saw that as well. Now, admittedly, by the way, that part's a little bit tricky. It's easy to testify to seeing something. It's really difficult to testify to have not seen something. Admittedly, that last part's a little bit tricky. But still, right? You were there, right? Yeah, we were there. Are you going to testify? No. No, we refuse to testify. In fact, now that you mention it, we forgot about it. Okay, so hare elu peturin she'ein chayavin ela al tvias mamon kipikadon. And the Mishnah tells us in this first halacha that no, that they're not going to be chayav. And the reason why you're not going to be chayav is because yes, it's true this is a monetary case, but this is not a solid enough monetary case. A commitment to give money is not as firm, it's not as solid as money's already been given and the person's just simply not paying back. And how do I know that the monetary claim has to be strong like that? Because it has to be pikadon. It has to be just like a pikadon. In the case of pikadon, I handed him something of value. I'm now asking for it back. And he's denying that I owe it. And now I'm trying to bring in the witnesses. So there, that is a case of a real bona fide monetary obligation. Not a commitment, but rather something, an object that I gave him. So too, by Shavuos Eidos, the monetary case by Shavuos Eidos has to be such where there already was a financial, not commitment, but money actually given over, and now I want my money back. He's not paying me back. I'm now trying to get the Eidim to testify. They deny knowing information. That's the case in which they're going to be chayv karban. Number two of the Mishnah. Mashbi ani alechem kishetedu li Eidos shetavo v'teiduni. A second halacha of the Mishnah. Let's say I adjure the witnesses not on a case that has occurred yet, but on a case that will occur. Look, in just a little bit, I'm going to lend the money, and you're actually going to be there at the loan, and you're going to see. So right now, even though we're prior to the origination of the loan, right now I'm adjuring you. I'm going to demand that you testify for me in court. And now after that, they deny, that's not good. In other words, the order has to be, first the event has to happen, and then and only then I adjure them. Then they're going to be chayv a carbon olav yared, otherwise they're not going to be chayv. Number three of the Mishnah.
The first part said that it's only in the moment that's a pekudin, that it was already given.
Right.
That's even stronger.
Right, but that first part... Right, no, but what, in other words, but what they're denying, in other words, they're not denying to the commitment. Yeah. In other words, in the second case of the Mishnah, they then actually saw the transfer of money, and even after seeing the transfer of money, they said, look, we're denying. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that because the Mashbiah came before the event, so therefore that doesn't count. It has to be that they're mushba after the event. That's the second halach in the Mishnah. Third halach in the Mishnah. Amar beveit haknesset v'amar mushba ani aleichem shim atem yodim li eidus shetavo v'tiduni harei l'peturin. Let's say the gabbai gets up after minyan and he makes the announcements, and then after the announcements he's like, okay, now there happened to have been a pair of witnesses there in the room, but he gives blanket coverage to everybody, all the mispalim, everyone in shul davening. I'm going to put everyone here under oath that you have testimony. Now, not all of them, but some of them do. In fact, let's even say only two of them do, right? But the gabbai says that all of you have testimony for me. I'm placing all of you under oath. And then along comes the two witnesses. They deny. That denial is not going to result in a karban. And the reason why is because they themselves were not specifically subpoenaed. Okay. That's the number three halacha of the Mishnah. Number four, halacha of the Mishnah. Am l'shnayim mashbiyah ani aleichem ishponi uponi shim atem yodim li edus shetavo v'tiiduni shvu sheinanu yodim lecha edus v'hem yodim lo edus eid mi piyed o sheyechad mehem karav apostle. In case number four in the Mishnah, they do no testimony. But either as hearsay, eid mi piyed, which is inadmissible in a beis din, or let's say one of the witnesses or a karav apostle, which we know the halach is that one of the witnesses or karav apostle. So once again, now it's inadmissible. So in those cases, harei l'peturim, they're going to be pater. And over here, it's really simple. They're going to be pater because even if they were to provide testimony, that testimony would be inadmissible, either because it's hearsay or it's because echad mehem karav apostle. So as a result of that, their denial is not going to result in a karban. Number five halacha of the Mishnah. Shalach biyad avdo o shamer lemanitba mashbiyan e'alechem shimatem yodnim li edus shetavo viti eduni. Let's say, who is soliciting the denial? Either it's an eved, it's a servant of the plaintiff, or it's the defendant. Defendant, for whatever reason, is saying, look, you have testimony for the plaintiff, so I'm placing you under oath. You gotta come to the court, you gotta testify. They come to the court and deny. Since the solicitation did not come directly from the plaintiff, therefore they're not gonna be chayv karban. It has to be coming from the plaintiff himself. If the subpoena solicitation does not come from the plaintiff, So then it does not register as a proper tvia. Therefore, the kfira is not a proper kfira, and they're not going to be chayv a carbon.
So, a nidva has edim, it cannot be mashpia the edim?
If the nidva has edim, and they're edim for the nidva.
Yes.
Right. And okay, it's a fair question. Right. The Mishnah here, I hear you. It's a good question. I assume the case over here in the Mishnah is that the nitva is being mashbia the edim of the toveya. Right. Okay, it's a great question. I don't know. Tana Rabbanan. And now, after learning the five halachas in the Mishnah, the Gemara over here are going to be really organized. The Gemara now is going to be giving us five brisas, each one supporting every one of the five halachas we learned in the Mishnah and providing a drasha in terms of how we know this. So the Gemara is very, 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 very smooth, very, very organized. Tana Rabbanan. So here in the Braisa, we're going over the first halacha of the Mishnah. In the first halacha of the Mishnah, if I have the Edom come in and I say, look, under oath, you know that the person committed to give me money, come to the court and testify that you were there in our presence when he committed to give me the money, and they deny, so they're going to be potter. Why are they going to be potter? Because of the Gzera Shava. What does the Gzera Shava do? It again connects Shavuos Eidus to Shavuos HaPikadon. Just like by Shavuos HaPikadon, we're talking about a tangible obligation, a real obligation. And it's a real obligation because I gave him an object to watch. He now comes back to me and he says to me, I don't know, right? No object. Meaning, I deny owing you the object back, returning the object to you. So there it's talking about yeshlo. It's talking about where there is a concrete object under debate, under adjudication. So too over here, we're talking about where the monetary obligation is real. Not that he made a commitment to me, but actually he gave me money, he lent me money, and he's refusing to pay me back. Next halacha. So the Gemara now is going over the second halacha of the Mishnah, in that I place the witnesses under oath prior to the monetary event. Then, after the monetary event, where I'm actually gave him money, now I have the witnesses come to court, but I already placed them under oath beforehand, and they deny. That's not a proper denial. It's not a proper shvua, not a proper denial. Why? Because the shvua has to be after the event. How do I know that? Because you look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vuhu eid o ra'a o yada, mi shekadma eidos shvua, v'lo shekadma shvua le'edos." It has to be that the testimony occurred first. Then, when I say testimony, meaning that the event had to have occurred first, meaning the event that was seen by the witnesses, then and only then the shua afterwards. But you can't have the shua before the actual event. Halacha number three of the Mishnah. Amad bebeis hakenetz v'amar mashbini alechem amar shmua. Afilo edav bineihem. Now you probably guess this, but the Shmuel makes this point very clear. Again, the Gabbai's in shul after minyan is over, making the announcements, and then puts a blanket shvua on all the mispalim. Everyone here davening. Everyone here is under oath, right? Some of you know testimony about that person owing me money. So now, under oath now, I'm telling you to come to court and to testify. And Shmuel says, and it happens to be that the Edom there are there in the room. And still, they're going to be potter. And why are they going to be potter? They're going to be potter because they were not specified. So the Gemara says, Pshita lo tzricha dekai elihu. So the Gemara says, well, the truth of the matter is that even before Shmuel made that statement, we knew that. Meaning, otherwise, what would be the point of the Mishnah? Meaning, if the Edom are not in the room, and he puts everyone under oath, and nobody there was an aid, so of course they're going to be potter. Meaning, they didn't even hear the hashba'ah. So the Gemara says, so even without Shmuel, wouldn't we have known that? So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could be talking about a case where the Edom were standing right by the Gabbai as he was making the announcement. Or if I may, right, you know, like when the Rav is, you know, inviting the Bar Mitzvah boy to come up on stage. So in other words, so maybe the Gabbai is inviting the Eden to come up right alongside him. And once again, he gives a blanket shvua to everyone there in the room. So the Gemara says, Mao detema kamanda amar lehu dame. And the Gemara says, now if this is a case where the Edom are there in the room, and they're even proximate to the Toveya, it's still not enough. What do you need? You need Yichud Edom, meaning you need the Toveya to point to the Edom and say to them, I want you, and he was Miyachid the Edom, and he says, I want you to testify, so you need such a Shavua. A blanket Shavua is not going to be good. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara says, Ra Siyashu B'nei Adam, if you see a, now, I'm not saying this is a correct translation, but if you see a sea of people, okay, but it's not a good translation. But anyway, but it just simply means a congregation. Omdim ve'enda beinem va'amalem ashmini aleichem imatem yodim li edus shetavo v'taydun yachul yu chayavin. Under those circumstances, where it's a blanket hashba'a. Tamalamer v'hu eid va'arei lo yiched edav. Oh, so he was not miyachid the edim. Now, what's the contrast case? Interesting. Watch now the contrasting case. Yachol afilo amar kol ha'omdim kan. What if he says, rather than just simply mashbini aleichem, right, as a blanket statement, but every person over here in this room is under oath. He says, kol ha'omdim kan. So tam alamar v'hu eid v'are yichud eidav. Interesting, the Brisa says that's considered yichud eidim. Even though not everyone in the room was a witness. But as long as he says, kol ha'omdim kan, that's going to include every single person in the room. And if the Edom in the room, they've now been properly subpoenaed by the Toveya. And now if they deny, so that's going to be a proper denial, in which they're going to be chayv karban. Am l'shnai mashbi'ani aleichem. Next case of the Mishnah. Next Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. Am l'shnai mashbi'ani aleichem ploni uploni imatem yodim li'edus. Shetavo v'tiyiduni v'hem yodim lo edus. Ein mi pi'edus sheyachem ehem. Korv apasul yachul yuchayavim. Tamalom reim lo yagivin asav ono. Beruyin la'agad dakas medaber. It's a pretty obvious point, but the Gemara still makes it. And that is that the only way their denial is going to be significant is if they didn't deny, but rather they testify, the testimony would be significant. If their testimony is not significant, if their testimony cannot be admissible, so then obviously the denial is not going to be a denial as well. Okay. Shalch biyad avda v'chule. And the last halacha of the Mishnah, which now the Gemara brings a braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, shalch biyad avdo shamar lehem anitba mashmini aleichem, shimatam yodim lo edus shetavo v'tiyiduni, yochu yuchayavim tamalomer im lo yagivin asavano. So the Gemara says that the subpoena has to be coming from the Toveya and only from the Toveya. If it's coming from a servant of the Toveya, if it's coming from the defendant in the case, that's not a proper tviya, and therefore, even with a denial, even under oath, it's not going to register as a proper denial. It's not going to be chayv karban unless it comes directly from the Toveya. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Because the pasuk says, im lo yagivin asavano, which prompts the Gemara to ask the obvious question. How do we get from the pasuk to the halacha? Where in the pasuk does it say that it has to be coming from the Toveya? It's a good question. My Talmudah, that's the Gemara's question. So how do we get from pasuk to halacha? Amar Rebbe Lazar im lo yagid ksiv. Look carefully at the pasuk. Look at the kri and ksiv of the pasuk. It says im lo yagid. Now it says it malay, lamed vav aleph, meaning the simple pshat in the pasuk is if he doesn't say. But if it's just simply, if the pasuk wanted to just communicate that idea, it should have just simply im lo yagid lamed aleph. But it says lamed vav aleph. What does that tell us? Lo im lo yagid v'nasa v'no. If he doesn't tell him, who's the him in this case? The him obviously being the Toveya, meaning the person wants money. The person now is going to the Edim, and now the way we're reading the pasuk im lo yagid. If he doesn't tell him, it's a denial to the plaintiff. V'im la'acher lo yagid pater. However, a denial to anybody else, if it's an eved, if it's the nitba, so that's not going to be a proper denial, and that's not going to result in a karban olaviyarid. We learned yesterday's daf, just as a quick reminder, that there is a possibility to write a harsha. In other words, you give power of attorney over to somebody else, and with that power of attorney, so that person now can, in fact, give a proper subpoena to the witnesses, and now the witnesses, if they deny, are going to be chayv karban. Yesterday we pointed out it's easier to write a harsha on property. It less a little trickier to write harsha on movables, but as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, as long as there's no denial on the part of the nitba, so then you can in fact write harsha even on movables as well. Okay. We are now up to the next Mishnah, and the next Mishnah now is going to be dealing with some very basic halachas. The truth of the matter is that these halachas, some of the halachas in the Mishnah are specific to Shavuos Eidos, and some of the halachas are general Shavua halachas. In other words, you're making a Shavua. When making a Shavua, you have to say Shem Hashem. What is Shem Hashem? Meaning, and what's the kinui of Shem Hashem? And if you use the kinui of Shem Hashem, does that count? So simple questions like that, basic questions like that, are going to be addressed in our Mishnah. And also, just simply, what's the proper formula of a Shavua? So these are the things that which are going to be discussing in our Mishnah. Mashbi'eni alechem, mitzava ani alechem, osarchem ani alechem. I'm sorry, osarchem ani hare elu chayavim. So if you use a formula of either I place you under oath, or I command you, or I prohibit you, we'll explain that better in just a moment. So these are all proper formulations, and you are adjuring properly. However, b'shamayim va'aretz are elu peturim. But if you say shamayim va'aretz, so that's not proper. It's not going to result in a hashba'ah, and then you won't get the whole shvuah rolling. If you start off with shamayim va'aretz, what's the contrast over here? Why are the languages of mashbieni and mitzave and arsachem good languages? Why shamayim va'aretz not a good language? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to explain this much better. Now, Shem Hashem. In order to make a Shavua, so you have to be using Shem Hashem. And what constitutes Shem Hashem? Aleph Dalet, Yud Kei. So Aleph Dalet is Shem Adnus. Right? Obviously, I'm not going to say it. In other words, even in the context of learning, still, I myself will use Kinuyim when referring to Shem Hashem. So Aleph Dalet is Shem Adnus. Yud Kei. Now, Yud Kei over here could mean just simply the letters Yud Kei, which also in of itself spells Shem Hashem, or Yud Kei could just simply be the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay. Shakai, Tzvakos, Chanun, Rachum, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed, Uvechol HaKinuyim Hare Elu Chayavim. So you use any one of the Kinuyim, any one of the subordinate names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So to say, a nickname of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vis-a-vis Shvua, it is now registered as if you made a proper Shvua, and you will be now Chayev. Now, again, this is a point that could be made specific to Shvuas Eidos, but the truth of the matter is that it's a general point regarding Shvuas in general. When making a Shvua, so you need to insert Shem Hashem, and now what we're learning is that the insertion of any one of these names would in fact qualify. HaMekala B'kulan Chayev Divrei Meir. Now, let's say you blaspheme. So, right, Giduf. So, in blasphemy, so once again, you have to say Shem Hashem, right? And remember, the Gemara is back in Sanhedrin, Yaki Yoses Yossi, right? Yossi obviously is euphemistic, but in other words, you have to be using one of the Shemas Hashem. And according to Rebbe Meir, if you use any one of the kinuim that we just described over here in our Mishnah, that also will make the person eligible to Giduf. The Chachamim Potrin, and the Chachamim say no. In other words, it has to be the proper Shem Hashem, any one of the Kinuyim. Obviously, it's wrong, but in terms of a violation of the Isser of Giduf, in terms of a Chi of Misa, Misa's Bidei Adam, so it's not Giduf until he uses the actual Shem Hashem. HaMekal Avivimah B'kulan Chayav, Divrei Meir V'Chacham and Potrim. Also, cursing one's mother or father, a capital crime, but a capital crime only when done properly. Properly, there's no... The word proper may not be the right word in describing cursing one's parent, but in other words, I mean proper in the sense of it actually registers as a legal mekalo. And that's only when, according to a mayor, even if I use any one of the kinuyim, it's going to be mekalo. And the chachamim pochim, and once again, the chachamim say no. That it's only mekalo of the imo, only when using the actual proper Shem Hashem. Ha-mekalo atma v'chaver b'kula over below saseh. If a person is mekalo another Jew, we are all prohibited from cursing another Jew. If a person is mekalo another Jew, or for themselves for that matter, so using any one of these names, you are in violation of a lo sase. That's not a capital crime, not subject to the death penalty, but still one is going to be in violation if uses any one of the subordinate names. Yakecha Hashem Elokim V'chein Yakecha Elokim Zuhi Allah Haksuva B'Torah. If let's say, right, I put ourselves in shul, and we're learning from the Tochacha, and now hearing from the Tochacha, so I'm sitting next to another person. Oh, you hear that curse? I'm telling you right now. Now, I shouldn't be talking during laning, but okay. I know. But I'm so angry. So I turn to the person next to me and I say, you hear that curse? That's going to be you if you don't testify for me. A nice hello, how are you in shul? So Zui Allah Ksuba Torah. So that's an Allah. And remember, the Parsha in Shavuot Eidos, Vishama Kol Allah. Right? So you hear the curse. And so now I'm hearing the curse and I'm turning to the person next to me and I'm saying, you heard that too, right? You're listening. Good. That's you if you don't testify. So, Al Yakecha, so Vivarchecha V'itavlach. What if, however, I make a inferential statement? I say, you know what? You shouldn't be cursed if you testify for me. Or you should be blessed if you testify for me. With the obvious inference of, an implication of, and if you don't testify for me, you're going to be in trouble. So, Rebbe Meir Mechai V'chacham and Pochim. So, do we say Mechlal Lav Atashamehain? So, do we assume that people get inferences? Machlokus between Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. And again, that to be discussed in more detail. Let's go through a little bit of the Gemara over here. Mashbiani Alechem Ay Kamar, Am Rav Yura Achi Kamar. We're just simply trying to say pshat in the beginning of the Mishnah. Mashbiani Alechem Mishvua Amura B'Tara. Mitzavani Ani Alechem B'Tzava Amura B'Tara. Osrachem Ani B'Isser Amura B'Tara. You're using languages that are used in the Torah. The words of Shvua and Tzivui and Isser, all words used in the Torah. So Amalei Abai Ela Hadidni Rabbi Chia Kovachmani Hare Elu Chayavim Kova Baraisa Miksiv. Well, what about if I chain you? Meaning the word Koval is not used in the Torah, and meanwhile, according to the Brisa of Rabbi Chia, that also works. So we have to try another route. Ela Amar Abai Achi Kamar. Mashbiani Aleichem Bishvua, Mitzavani Aleichem Bishvua, Osarchem Ani Bishvua, Kovachem Ani Bishvua. Now, so in other words, it's not that these words themselves are used in the Torah and therefore they are a Shvua. No. It simply means, I am binding you to a Shvua. And as long as you use a language that basically says, you're on, meaning you are now bound to a Shvua. So which languages are indicative of you're on? So languages of what we saw in the Mishnah. Mashbia, Mitzaveh, Osarchem. Osarchem means I bind you. And also Kovachem. I'm chaining you. I'm chaining you to a Shvua. So all these languages indicate that I am now, you are now on the hook to have to make a Shvua. Alav Dalad Yud Kesha Kaitz Vakos Chanun V'Rachum Erech Apayim V'Rach Chesed. Lamemet D'Chanun V'Rachum Shemos Ninu. Chanun V'Rachum are Shemos. Really? The Gemara says, V'Riminu Yesh Shemos Shein Nimchakim V'Yesh Shemos Shein Nimchakim Elen Shemos Shein Nimchakim Kagon Kel Alokecha Alokim Alokeichem Eya Asher Eya Alav Dalad Yud K. Shakai Tzvakos Hare Elu Enim Chakim. So going over the Shemos Hashem, the Kinuim of Shem Hashem. So these are names that you're not allowed to erase. On the other hand, Aval, Gadol, Gibor, Nora, Adir, Chazak, Amitz, Azuz, Chanan, Racham, Erech, Apayim, Rechesed, Hare Elu Enim Chakim. They are adjectives. They're not Shem Hashem. And therefore you can erase them. So obviously a Sira. In our Mishnah, when going over what is considered Shem Hashem, so including our Mishnah, Chanan V'Racham. Meanwhile, in the Braisa, clearly, Chanan V'Racham, you're allowed to erase, so clearly not Shem Hashem. Amar Abayim, Masnisan B'Mishu Chanan, B'Mi Shuhu Racham. So the Gemara says, well, here's what we're going to say, Pshat in our Mishnah. When we say Chanan V'Racham, it's not just using the words Chanan V'Racham, but using it as a way of describing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'Mishu Chanan, B'Mishu Racham. So Amalei Ravi Yachi, B'Shamayim V'Aretz Namini, B'Misha Shamayim V'Aretz Shalom, Kamar. So Shamayim V'Aretz also, that should qualify. In other words, the one who owns Shamayim V'Aretz. So the Gemara says no. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, not comparable. Hasam Kevin Deleke Midi Achrina Diakre Rechon V'Chanon, Vada Mimishu Chanon, Vada Mimishu Rechon. So when we're talking about Chanon V'Rechon, in terms of an ultimate, in terms of a superlative, the merciful one, the compassionate one, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when talking about Shemayim Va'aretz, that's not, even if I say, the one who owns Shemayim Va'aretz, that's not a way that is normally used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be referring to others as well. And look, Shemaim V'Arts, it's a tangible item. So it could very well be, Shemaim less so, I know, but still. Shemaim V'Arts are tangible items. So when saying Shemaim V'Arts, it's not clear cut that it's a reference, it's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanun V'Rachum, which are Midos, their character traits, and I'm saying the merciful one, the compassionate one, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly. So the Gemara says that could be a way to resolve it. So in other words, in the Braisa that says that if the word Chanun is written down, you can erase it, so that by itself is not Shem Hashem. But if I say Mishu Chanun, Mishu Racham, so then that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Learning throughout Tanakh, which the times in the Torah where you see the letters Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is that Kodesh, is that Chol? And we're gonna take a tour of Tanakh tomorrow, seeing where it's Kodesh, where it's Chol.